you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined in the House Hall coat closet by John Moon Mullen. After another day of OTA practice, Moon, a lot to unpack today, this being Wednesday. But I want to start with Kevin White, because Kevin White had an interesting media session. It lasted about 4 minutes, and he gave mostly 1 to 6 word answers. And I walked away from it at first being like, wow, like that was bad. Like that he was, you know, not necessarily combative, but just, you know, was disinterested and all that. But I then kind of had this thought, well, of course he's disinterested. Of course he's sick of answering the same questions over and over and over again. You were in on it a little bit too. Just did you kind of get that same impression?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you've known Kevin the last couple of years, there are not too many nicer young men on this team, which is, you know, as well as much as we can know them. I mean, under some of the charity work he's done and so forth. But you're absolutely right, Jay. I think, in fact, I went back and looked at some of the old interview things. You transcribe things and save them from even his late in his rookie camp, and then his after he'd missed the whole first year with his leg injury. Some of the answers are even the same because the questions are the same. And, you know, if you know athletes, and maybe a lot of us in general, you really get tired of talking about negative stuff. You know, I don't want to talk about my injuries. I want to talk about this year. And, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but he sure is, you know, he's tired of talking about it. And everything is going to be negative. Like one of the things brought up, well, the Bears didn't pick up your fifth-year option. Yeah. Well, there's another negative. And just having seen him, I think he had to be persuaded to come back out and talk to the media. Whereas normally, you know, around the locker room, he's a very personable guy. But I just think he's not unnecessarily prickly. But he did an interview that Brian Urlacher would have been proud of. But yeah, but again, Brian was very personable when you talk to him away from the crowd sometimes. But you're spot on. I think he is so fed up with, and how could you not be, 3 years, and you could even call, I don't know if you can call him injury prone. Those are not like a soft tissue, a hamstring, or a guy keeps spraining his ankle. No, these are broken bones.
Yeah.
And I think Kevin, in fairness to him, it got tired of saying, I'm just here to do my job, because at this point in his life, that is exactly what it's here for.
Yeah, you know, you can read some more of these quotes on NBC Sports Chicago on a story I'm working on, but you know, Kevin White on if he thinks the Bears still believe in him, quote, I don't know, it really don't bother me at all, I believe in myself. Kevin White on if the Bears declining his fifth-year option provides motivation, quote, I'm motivated every single day with or without the option. Like, that was essentially the tone of his media session. And Moon, you're absolutely right. All this guy has been trafficking in with the media has been negativity. And it's not like we're being unfair to him. It's not like, you know, we're only focusing on the negatives, because there's really not a lot of positives to focus on with Kevin White's career, but that's just the sense of it. If he came out and he were chipper and like, yeah, you know, they declined my fifth-year option, but yeah, you know, I'm fine, you know, like, that'd almost be more strange than if he came out and handled it like he did today.
That would have been the kind of phony, well, typical athlete, people would be jumping him for being phony.
Right.
But, you know, it's funny. It just occurred to me, I don't know if you were – we were waiting for Mitch Trubisky was about to go up and talk, and I think Kevin White came out after being persuaded. And it was a little byplay that I would consider a really good sign on both players' parts. Trubisky kind of yelled over to him, and he kind of, I think, put on a fake voice for him for some reason. A little byplay like that tells me that Trubisky, they're comfortable, they're teammates or so forth. And while, again, it doesn't win you any games in May, if it weren't there, I think we would start worrying about the chemistry and so forth. Mm-hmm. So maybe Trubisky is the kind of guy, he knows what his teammates going through. And just to be able to pick him up, and he probably knew he didn't want to be there, probably Trubisky didn't want to be there. But little things like that, you sort of see a kind of a little spark among teammates, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think that shows Mitch Trubisky's leadership quality, which I'm sure we'll talk about at length later on. But as it relates to Kevin White, I had also had a chance to talk with Mike Furry today. And he, I thought, could not have handled his approach to Kevin White better, of essentially telling us what he told him, which is, I don't care about your past. Whatever happened in the past, don't tell me about. I don't care. I'm only here to evaluate you today in this moment. I don't care what your future is. I don't have expectations for you. Let's just work on this today. If there's something that needs to be corrected, correct it tonight. And then tomorrow's a new day, but let's not look 12 hours in, anything more than 12 hours in advance. I think that's a perfect approach to take with Kevin White, because it was genuine in a way that I think can speak to Kevin White, who I know, Moon, you're touching on this, but he's had so many different receiver coaches in his career. Almost, what is it, one a year?
Yeah, four. This is fourth year's fourth coach.
So that, to have a guy come in and basically say, I don't care what happened in the past. We can't change it. The only thing we can change is what you're doing today. I think that's a really good approach to take with Kevin White.
And I will be talking at NBC Sports a little bit about the number of these coaches these guys have had. But, Furry touched on, you need to be, and he used the word selfish. And that was really, I thought, a good thought he had. And Mike Furry's an ex-player. I mean, he had to claw his way into the NFL. He was undrafted, or he went to the Colts, didn't make it there with Peyton Manning. And then he goes and plays with, fringe teams, and then finally gets his break and has a decent NFL career. So he knows what it's like to come back, or he knows what it's like to have to fight for your spot. And that's where Kevin White really is. So I think he might be that perfect guy. And again, remember last year, Zach Azani?
Mm-hmm. The Army men?
Yeah, it didn't quite work, did it? I mean, again, not antagonism, but remember, it was a bumpy thing about showing old films, and didn't have a good feel. And Furry, he's in their face a little bit. He's a tough guy. He had to scrap to get where he is.
He's got really thick forearms.
Oh my God, I thought he was a strength coach first time I saw it. I thought he was much taller, having covered him 10 years ago when he was with the Lions in particular. So used to seeing Detroit receivers like Herman Moore and then Calvin Johnson and so forth. Then Mike Furry, my God, he used to look like he'd be a guard. I think this may be just the right guy for Kevin White at just this point. And, with the Bears, you've seen Kyle Fuller overcome a lot and then come back. So maybe that's what they hope they've got. And you're right. I think he's got a great attitude. Mike Furry, forget about the past. This is all about now. And that's why Kevin White probably reflected that. I don't want to talk about the past.
And pretty much all we're doing is asking him about the past, whether it's, 2 weeks ago when they declined his fifth-year option, or it's the injury that ruled him out for the entire 2017 season, except for, 2.5 quarters. I forgot about the Azani thing. I forgot about the showing him the old tape of him at West Virginia and being like, see, Kevin, you can't be like that. And that press conference that White had that day.
I wasn't even sure it really happened.
Because I remember White got up there and he looked like he was in a pretty good mood. Mm-hmm. And then almost was like blindsided, be like, wait, he did what? He said he did what? And was like, Why are you talking about? It was such a bizarre day. And you just feel like Furry in his approach, that fits what Kevin White needs right now. We'll see if that actually leads to anything happening this season, because Mike Furry taking that approach can't keep Kevin White healthy. Can't keep him from having another horrible luck, broken bone injury. But look, whatever the Bears get out of Kevin White this year is kind of a bonus.
Right, and they could come up with something great. I mean, we're not allowed to really be, I shouldn't say not allowed, but Kevin White's one of those guys in my quarter century doing this. That's a kid I hope does well. Mm-hmm. You've earned it, son, and he's worked hard to get where he is. And one other thing about the coaches, I went back and looked. What he's had to overcome, apart from the injuries, think how many quarterbacks he's been through. This is not like Reggie Wayne or somebody who played with Peyton Manning or whatever. He had Jay Cutler, Brian Hoyer, Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky as a rookie.
Well, he barely even practiced with Mitch Trubisky. He probably has worked more with Mark Sanchez than he has Mitch Trubisky.
So all these different guys, I mean, if Kevin White turns into something, that'll be one of the great overcoming the odds. Jimmy Clausen was here, and when he started out, he wasn't always running with the one. So you look at what he's had to develop. He hasn't always been catching passes from Aaron Rodgers. He's had to overcome all that kind of stuff in addition to the coaching changes. So
yeah, and look, I think we should. This has been pretty positive in terms of Kevin White, which is Moon's not cracking a beer, by the way. That's a Canada Dry
ginger ale.
I actually wouldn't mind if they had a beer fridge here, but that's a story for another. That's a topic for another story. But you know, with Kevin White, I think keeping a healthy perspective on Kevin White from the outside is good because look, what kind of like I said, whatever the Bears get out of him is a bonus. Because they've insulated themselves from needing him to produce like they needed him to produce last year with Allen Robinson, with Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Trey Burton, all these guys. But look, if they get 16 games out of Kevin White, chances are he's probably going to have some decent numbers because if he's playing in 16 games, he's probably producing to earn some playing time in this receiver core. So I think that's kind of your starting point with Kevin White. Get him in as many games as possible, and maybe he'll turn into something.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a chance. I mean, again, there's a lot of clean slating going on here. Obviously, they spent money on Allen Robinson, but Allen Robinson's not practicing yet.
Yep.
So this, again, it's not capitalizing on a teammate being down, but those are reps that Kevin White gets or Taylor Gabriel.
Well, and just on that, that's how Kyle Fuller earned his job last year. When Prince Amukamara went down, Fuller took full advantage of that opportunity. And, yeah, he had been practicing well before that, but it wasn't really until Amukamara got hurt where Fuller started getting some run with the first team. And it was like, hey, actually, I think Kyle Fuller's he's not only making this team, but he's playing.
Well, and to get back to the selfish angle, what Kevin White, obviously the broken bones, that the injuries are aside. But as Furry was saying, you need to be selfish, meaning you want to maximize yourself. And he said he sensed that in Kevin White. Now, again, it doesn't win any games. We're not winning anything. They're still undefeated, but they also haven't
put pads on.
It's flag football, yeah. Like Harry Hiestand even said, we got a great flag football team working out here. So you don't know. But, Kevin White, needs to be, quote, selfish about taking advantage of these opportunities. It's not screwing a teammate, but if so-and-so can't practice, I get those reps with the ones.
All right, we've devoted the first half of this podcast to talking about Kevin White. In the second half, we're going to come back here and get into some other notes and observations from week 2 of OTAs at Halas Hall.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, Moon and I are back here on the Under Center podcast from Halas Hall. Moon, we had a chance to hear from Mitch Trubisky today. We also had a chance to hear from Mark Helfrich, as well as a couple of assistant coaches, including Mike Furry. Any major takeaways that you've got just from kind of hearing from a lot of these guys for the first time either this month or since January when they're all hired?
Well, the one that kind of jumped out at me and not unexpected was Mark Helfrich talking about the first thing you said, basically, we had a bad day. We didn't do so good today. And there were a couple of interceptions. I think it might have even been a pick in 7-on-7, which never should happen. But and realizing that's what's going to happen for this team. They're going to take 2 steps, maybe 3 steps forward, and then stumble. But get up and keep going as they install things. This is still orientation, and you just want to see Mitch Trubisky comfortable. Interesting to see some of the drills that they run. Are we allowed to talk about those things?
Probably not.
Yeah, the footwork drills and guys in the pocket and some equipment guy throwing those giant, exercise balls at them, like they're being blitzed. And so really there's an interesting coaching going on to develop the quarterback position, but you're going to have days like this where they really they wet the bed a couple times.
Yeah, you know, Matt Nagy talked about that last week where he essentially said because the defense is ahead of the offense right now, yeah, there are going to be moments where it's like, you know, it might look frustrating or something, but it's actually a good thing that the defense is ahead, even more so than I think typically, because usually right by the, you know, around this time, the defense is ahead of the offense.
They should be.
But for Trubisky in that, the defense is giving them a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, you're having to go against, you know, in 7-on-7, six of those seven guys were on the team last year. Like that makes a difference, and you're trying to install this new offense. I think that, you know, they have a pretty healthy approach to it, and, you know, I think if come the middle of training camp, the defense is still this far ahead of the offense, then you'll have some concern. But for right now, it's, you know, they're taking a good approach to it. They're saying, yeah, you know, this is incremental. You kind of have to crawl before you walk, that type of stuff. And I think that, you know, that's the healthy approach to take when you do have a bad day, like Helfrich said they had today.
And it's hard for us to really evaluate everything. And it may even be worse than we think because we didn't know what was called. A play might have been a completion, but, you know, somebody's going to get read the riot act in
right.
the film session because
right.
it wasn't, you know, somebody else didn't run the route they were supposed to do. But, yeah, you want to see cohesion developing. And you still see the leadership out of Trubisky, I think. Every day we've seen it, which we only get to watch one day a week, it's his team. And I think it's much more his team this year than it was Mike Glennon's this time last year, don't you?
Yeah, we're potting on the one-year anniversary of Mike Glennon saying, this is my year. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky, talking to some of the players today, I had a chance to talk to Deion Sims and Adam Shaheen, and when I asked them, you know, what kind of stands out about where Mitch has grown from the end of the season to right now, they both said it's his leadership. He's mm-hmm. taken control of this team. And it's easy to forget that Trubisky's barely been in the NFL for a year mm-hmm. since he last got drafted, you know, since he was drafted. And for him to already have that kind of command of this team, I mean, you mentioned it with the Kevin White thing, mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, hollering out at Kevin White, showing that camaraderie, that speaks volumes to the person mm-hmm. the Bears have in Mitch Trubisky. Leadership can only take you so far, because ultimately Mike Glennon did have control of that team when the Bears took the field in week one last year. I mean, every single one of his teammates was like, Mike Glennon's a great leader. You know, he's our guy. Kendall Wright was just effusive in his praise of Glennon as a leader, and it took him four starts for him to get benched. So Trubisky still has to put it together offensively, but for a second-year player, that's what you want to see. You need your quarterback to be a leader, because if he's not, everything can kind of go to you know what real quick.
Yeah, as it did. I mean, and I'm just thinking, I'm wondering, he's got, for example, the offensive line. There's a lot of guys in that unit. I'm going to start sticking strictly to offense that I think are really nice pairings with him. Kyle Long, who's mm-hmm. Kyle's got a couple of screws stripped, which you really want. You know, Cody Whitehair, you get talking to Cody, kind of, you'll get a little wry smile, and, you know, there's a kindred spirit there. Yeah, Eric Kush, not as big a name, but, you know, here's Harry Heaston saying, yeah, this guy I really want with me in a bar fight. I don't know how many bar fights Harry should be getting in at this point, but, you know, the personalities that they've got are going to be an interesting mesh with the quarterback, and it's going to be his team. And the more there's a cohesion and a bond with him and a Kevin White and mm-hmm. obviously Allen Robinson, although the poor guy can't practice yet, that's going to become the identity. That kind mm-hmm. of, that's one thing the offense hasn't had much of is swagger. The defense has, but
it had one guy with swagger last year.
Yeah, I mean, it needs that, and it needs that guy who you can knock him down and you'll just say, you know, kind of like Brett Favre, is that all you got?
Yeah.
You know, and be able to hope he doesn't get knocked down too much, but
right.
But I think there's a personality developing with this team that you want to see, and if it's happening in May, that's a good thing. I mean, starting already, you know, you just hope that Trubisky's going out and picking up the tab for the O-line dinner once mm-hmm. in a while, but that'll spend all his guaranteed money.
Really. Well, I think, you know, along those lines, Matt Nagy, one of his big coaching points has been be yourself. And that can sound like, you know, corporate buzz speak or whatever, but it actually seems to have really kind of played through here. And he was talking to Mike Furry about that too, specifically with Anthony Miller, a guy who has loads of swag, you know, but also this kind of chip on his shoulder because he was a walk-on at Memphis and had to really earn his way into being this super productive receiver. And Furry kind of said, you know, it's hard as a rookie to maintain that because you're trying to learn your route concepts. You're trying to learn your assignments, your footwork, all that stuff is different. And he's like, the first thing that goes is a personality because you're trying to do all these different things. He's like, we don't want that. We want guys to come in with that personality. He wants Allen Robinson to be an alpha, to be a guy who, you know, takes control of that room. And I think that's a really good thing that this coaching staff is doing, is coming in and saying, hey, like, don't conform to what we want you to be. Just be yourself, and the personalities will take care of themselves. I think the other end of that, too, is they don't have a Brandon Marshall. They don't have a Martellus Bennett, a guy who, if you be you, that personality can have a negative effect on the locker room.
Is that the good news or the bad news?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, right. It could be good or bad news. But, you know, that is something that Furry mentioned, too, of, like, that alpha thing can go the other way, where it can be a bad thing if you're, you know, talking too much and you're just kind of being a bad presence. And I think the Bears have a lot of guys, at least so far, who have shown that they are good locker room presences, who also have that personality and that kind of trait to them that they can be themselves, but it's not going to, like, piss everyone off on the team.
Yeah, there's really nobody in that locker room who has a right to do that. You know, maybe you could say Jordan Howard has a couple thousand yard season, but he's also the one who might be least likely to be that kind of guy.
Right.
You could say Allen Robinson, but, you know, we've seen him in, you know, he's probably the best dressed guy in a traditional sense. He's not going to be a jerk about things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the defense has a lot of those guys who they could, you know, Danny Trevathan's got a Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. Akeem Hicks should have been in the Pro Bowl. There's some guys, and you want everybody to have a little bit of that swag. But yeah, with the offensive guys, they have something to prove. And I think whether it's Trey Burton showing, the best thing you could have for a guy like that is having read stories to say, well, boys, you overpaid, and then having want to go out and prove everybody wrong. So I think that's what you may see in this team, a little swagger. And I think today we saw, you know, interceptions or near interceptions. The defense is hooping it up.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because I want to see the offense. And if I'm a coach, I want to see the offense give it back to them just as much. And now you've got some chemistry within your unit, and that starts to develop.
Yeah, and that's what's really going on right now is, like you said, Moon, it's still orientation. Mm-hmm. You're still installing stuff. You're still figuring out what kind of leadership qualities these guys have. You know, who's first in line, who's first in the building, who's, you know, last out of the building. That type of stuff is largely what you're figuring out during OTAs. And it's to build that foundation for training camp of, you know, okay, who are the leaders on the team? Who are the guys who are really going to carry this team during those hot, sweaty, you know, doldrums in August and then into the season when everyone's banged up, and who are going to be the guys who keep that motivation going? You're figuring that out right now. Of course, you're installing, you're learning, all that. But if you don't have that established by the time training camp rolls around, it can be hard to get that established.
Yeah, remember last year, recalling, you know, I'm not fast-forwarding, okay, most likely to get in a fight in training. The first fight in training camp will be maybe Eric Cush against Jonathan Buller. I don't know who's going to be. I'm kidding about. But remember last year, Kyle Long got a real test.
With Hronis Grassou.
Everything. But it was wrong. It just didn't have a good energy. It didn't have the fire going the right direction.
It felt like it was out of frustration instead of competitiveness.
Well put. That's exactly right. There was not a mojo, a competitive thing. Like, I'll be damned if you're going to beat me again, damn it, and go back at him in a good way. This, you know, we'll see. Again, we're talking about an intangible at a time of the year when nothing of it really matters. But I wonder if we should start, you know, charting Trubisky's completions. I don't know. I'm kidding. You know, if it doesn't mean anything in training camp, it means you're going to lessen OTAs.
I think reading into what we see during these OTAs is always kind of a risk, just because, you know, the guys who are actually watching the film, the position coaches, Nagy, Helfrich, Fangio, Tabor, these guys actually know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
We're out there, like, if you pretend like you know what you're looking for in an OTA practice, then you should be being paid as a coach, personally. And that's not to say I don't think anyone in this media group is like, oh, you know, blah, 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 and that. This is not me taking a shot at anyone, so please don't construe it as such.
But his hand placement, it just stinks.
It's just like that kind of stuff. So I think that's why during OTAs we look for leadership qualities. We look for, is that competitiveness building? And I think right now we can say it is.
And how often is the ball on the ground? A few too many times today. And how they respond to that is going to be everything. And you get a sense with the young core, this is Mr. Trubisky's team, that's not going to be okay. Again, he's not the kind of teammate, I think, who gets in your face other than as a leader, and pulling guys up with him. So it makes you want to see. We'll see him next Wednesday, and then and then the mini camp, and then I think people are, for this team, I think you're going to start looking forward to training camp if that's possible.
It was always kind of the joke of, well, the Cubs stink, so when does training camp start? Oh, well, the Bears stink, but now it's like, hey, if things go right here, I think we might actually be looking forward to training camp, and if you're a fan, get down to Bourbonnais, because I can't say a whole lot else other than this offense is spicy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the attendance they had last year. If I'm a fan, I get down there and then try to find out which days they're going to be in pads. Some of the drills you're going to see with this team it's different. Of course, that's why you have a whole new coaching staff. If things were good, you'd have the same coaching staff. Right. So there are changes in how they mesh together. And by the way, just veering off into the receivers, Allen Robinson not being there, you hope that the chemistry develops. There's enough time for him to develop. We're talking about the injuries to Kevin White. You hope. Allen Robinson was just out there to catch a few balls, and he went back in, and he wasn't limping or anything, but he is really being taken care of or being led along slowly.
That was always the expectation with him, is that he wouldn't be participating right now. But, that's why I talked to Mike Furry about him. What is he like in the meeting room? And it was just, tons of praise and all that. And I think Robinson is the mindset to overcome that, to kind of force his it's that alpha personality, to force his way into developing a good chemistry with Mitch Trubisky. I'm not worried about Allen Robinson.
No.
Certainly not now, while we're in, what is it, May 23rd? Yeah. I'll worry about Robinson on August 23rd if he hasn't developed that chemistry. So I think we're going to leave it at that for right now here. Moon and I will be back with you next Wednesday with another Under Center podcast from the final OTAs session. And then after that, mini camp, and then on to summer break. So Moon, as always, you can follow all of Moon's work on NBC Sports Chicago as you can with mine. Thanks for listening, everyone.